Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Showmance.
Make sure you go to the episode description and check out all our sponsorship deals.
Our sponsors are the reason Showmance is completely free to download.
And they can hook you up with great deals on stuff you love, stuff you need, and cool gifts for your friends and family.
Sometimes an on-screen romance can lead to an off-screen showmance.
How romantic.
Join former Glee stars and best friends Kevin McHale and Jenna Ushkowitz as they interview other dynamic duos and share stories about the highs and lows of friendship.
She's my best friend. I love you.
Right here on Showmance with Kevin and Jenna.
Welcome to Showmance. I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
I'm Kevin McHale.
Kevin, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Jenna. Jenna and I met 11 years ago.
Ew. 11 years, Kevin.
11 years.
Have we told this story
Isn't
yet?
Isn't that beautiful?
It's a beautiful...
That's almost a third of our entire... Oh, it's a third of your entire life?
Well, yeah, it's a third of my entire life.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gross.
Never gonna give you up.
That just gave my
up.
Age away. we met in L.A.
Yes.
Here at L.A. at the Fox Studios.
For our... network test.
Yes.
I was there 2 days prior for the network test where
you
I met Chris.
At Fox for
yes.
studio?
Same, exact same room, exact same Oof. Thing.
At least you knew where you were going.
2 days prior where I met Chris Colfer, we did our studio test, came back 2 days later. They flew in everybody from New York, mm-hmm. which included Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all tested for Glee together.
Yes.
And
Ryan Murphy came in and was like, are you guys nervous?
Don't be nervous. We're more nervous than you are.
Just have fun.
And I was like, I'm terrified.
And I was like, I don't know what this is.
And then I never saw it. I didn't see you again.
Until the first day of the...
Yeah.
But I knew you got it because I was with the other guy who tested against you. And
yeah.
I got a call, but he... Well, he got a call, but he yeah. didn't get it. But he was going to school anyway, so it actually worked
and
out.
And now he's like a huge famous Broadway actor, so it's
yeah.
fine.
Everybody's doing great.
He's lovely.
He's the best.
He is. He's much better than me.
Everybody's doing... No, that's not true. There's room for both of you.
You're right. You're right. Thank you.
It was very... basic bitch on a post-it note in the mirror. There's enough room space for all of you. That was my mantra this morning.
That's good. I like that.
There, I do have to remind myself of that sometimes.
Of course.
I'm very competitive.
Are you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to call you. I need to be competitive because I'm not.
Oh, I will surely give it to you.
But, you know, in that studio test, I think I was competitive. But I do the thing where I found out all the reasons why I shouldn't get it. You know what I mean? Like, I was looking at him and I was like, oh, well, he's going to get it because yeah. of X, Y, and Z. And
don't
I'm
we
just
all do that?
Not going to get it because I'm terrible and I shouldn't get it.
Well, don't we all do that?
Yeah,
we're like,
I guess
oh my God, this person's
yeah.
going to get it because she's this and this and this. And then, like, we got it, Kevin.
And it, we got it.
It's the last job I booked.
I got it. Same.
Oh.
11 years ago.
That's crazy.
We did it.
And this, not 11 years ago, but like two summers after that was one of the best summers of our lives.
It was, wait.
2 years after that.
Was it 2 years after
yeah.
that?
Yeah. It was 2010.
It really was the best summer of our lives. Little did Jen and I know when we were crapping ourselves.
In an audition room at Fox Studios.
That we were going to go to Monaco and
in
London.
And have the best summer of our lives.
Yeah, that was great.
Bottle service. Bouncing back so quick.
Xena warrior princess.
Swimming nude in the ocean.
Yeah, the Mediterranean.
The Mediterranean. Anyway, well, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Love you, Jenna.
Love you, Kev. Before we get to Wells and Brandy, let's give a shout out to Ship, the dating app that lets you swipe for your friends.
We love playing matchmaker, don't we, Jenna?
Yes, yes, we do.
So we downloaded Ship as in relationship and have been using it to find dates for some
All
of our best
friends.
I won't put them on blast yet. It's a genius idea because we get to live vicariously through them.
Yes, we do because Kev and we are in loving relationships and mm-hmm. can't do that anymore, but for Ship, we can.
It's something I've already been doing my entire life, and now there's like an app that we can see people, tell
for.
Them what to say, what not. Oh, yes.
Okay, so download Ship, that's S-H-I-P, search for Ship Dating in the App Store, and start swiping today.
If you're single, you invite a group of friends to join your crew, and those friends can help you find matches.
And if you're not single, you can still join to help your friends out. You do not need to make a profile, you just join your friends' crew true and start swiping for them, and it's all private.
Genius. One of the best parts is the group chat feature. You can skim through profiles and strategize how to start the conversation to help your friends find the right match.
Yeah, because sometimes there's just, you know, the right words to get in. No. That's it, you know?
Where was this when I needed it?
I know. Well, finding a date is more fun if you do it with friends, right, Kevin?
Absolutely, Jenna.
So download Ship, the dating app that lets you swipe with friends. That's S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store and start swiping today. Let's get to another showmance.
Yes.
Brandy and Wells.
I love this one because people know them separately, but I think they don't really know them together unless you're a fan of their incredible podcast.
Your favorite thing, which is, I love because we got to talk about all of our favorite things.
Yeah, so stick around because they're incredible. And I'm just now a gigantic fan of theirs.
You were like going to say amazing and incredible at the same time.
Admirable. I hate us. Okay.
Stick around.
Hey, I'm Heather Morris.
And I'm Ava Bernstein Mitchell, a.k.a. Ava Flav.
And we're the hosts of the new show, The Dance Room, on Podcast One.
We're veteran dancers and choreographers that have worked with the likes of Beyonce, Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, and many more.
Oh, and you know, I used to be on this little show called Glee.
Hey.
I don't know if you watched it. Well, each week we're going to go full out on our favorite TV dance shows, like So You Think You Can Dance, Dancing with the Stars,
and World of Dance. So don't miss it. Get new episodes of The Dance Room every Thursday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Now back to Showmans with Kevin and Jenna.
Okay, we have Wells and Brandy with us. Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Are the levels good? Everything good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Everyone's so tan.
Yeah.
Am I tan?
Yeah.
Also, like, you're the first person in my life that's ever told me that, I feel.
Everybody's glowing.
I feel like you're tan by proxy.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, you're really tan, Wells.
I know. It's a it's a problem because, well, because I do a month in Mexico.
Right? For Paradise.
For Paradise. And then right afterwards, Sarah and I went to Fiji. So I like literally haven't left the sun.
That's nice.
So there's a good chance like I'm going to go need to see a dermatologist.
Yeah.
Check out some
of these
SPF
50.
Moly's I got going on.
I was just talking to Wells' new fiance. Congratulations,
yes,
by the
congratulations.
Way.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yay. Sarah.
Yeah.
She's like, where are you guys? Maybe I'll stop by. And then she's like, oh, I'm not going to make that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
It's a little far.
Maybe we'll call. I want to talk about your guys' friendship, work relationship. How'd y'all meet? When'd you become friends?
You want to do it or do you want me to do it?
I'll start and you can kind of fill in the blanks.
Okay.
Wells, he's not from Nashville, but how long did you live in Nashville?
12 years.
12 years.
Oh,
I'm from there, yeah. So, long story short, someone tried to set us up on a date.
Yep.
We went on that date.
Yep.
And then we went on a second date.
Yep.
But I think about halfway through the second date, we both were kind of like, yeah, this is a friend thing. Like, yeah. And
wow.
So we stayed friends, and Wells was working at the radio station in Nashville. He had a couple of radio shows and asked me if I wanted to start coming in and co-hosting with him sometimes. He was looking for a female co-host for some stuff, and I did, and it just kind of became a thing, and we just continued our friendship. And then how did we decide to do the podcast?
Well, so originally I worked for iHeart at the time in Nashville, and so I was doing like three different formats.
Mm-hmm.
And I had picked up a new format where I was doing top 40, basically, CHR. And I was like, okay, it would be really cool if Brandy and I had a show together because, I mean, she comes from like the musical family of the century, right? Like,
right.
And her sister is part of the and Brandy's a part of the zeitgeist as well, like being a DJ traveling around.
Right.
So I was like, how cool if Brandy and I had this like iHeart top 40 show. So we tried to create that. Like we created like a sizzle and sent it to the bigwigs at iHeart. And
oh yeah, we did.
And
this is like Casey Kasem.
Yeah,
top 40.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know.
And for whatever reason, no one bid on it, which I was so confused at the time. Like I was on The Bachelorette, you know, like her sister was, you know, like Wrecking Ball was coming out, and I was like, I don't know how you get a show made in radio, but like
this seems like it. Would be it.
This is silver platter stuff here, guys.
And we're handing it to you. Like, you don't have to do anything but say yes.
And so, for whatever reason, nothing took off with it.
Mm.
But what we learned is that it was fun to do the show together. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, let's just do a podcast. Mm-hmm. And then we're just in control of it.
Yeah.
And so she would just come to my studio at iHeart in Nashville, and we would just like rip out all these shows. Mm. And it was weird. Like, we never tried to sell it in the beginning.
No.
You remember that?
We did it for like, I think, a year or so, just on our own.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
We used the radio station studio. Wells edited everything. Oh. And we just literally, and he put it up. We didn't have any help. We just did it on our own.
Yeah.
Hustle. The hustle is real.
It
was more of like, I don't know if we need to make money off this. It's just fun to do. Like,
right.
And that's kind of the vibe of the show, is like, it's two friends hanging out, because that's what it was originally.
Where did the title, Your Favorite Thing, come from?
We went to a Mexican restaurant.
Taco Mamacita.
Shout out.
Yeah. Probably were a few margs in.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I come from this radio world, so like I understand like the things you need to make things work in radio. And I was like, okay, let's make a podcast. But we need to focus in on like a theme of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so Brandy was like, I don't know. I just want to like talk about like what I want to talk about. And I was like, but that's not a theme. Like, and she was like, well, like, I just want to talk about my favorite stuff.
Hey, respect. She had a clear vision.
I mean, that's
a
thing.
This impression, though,
it's nuts.
If you could see the neck moving.
I know. Do I do that?
Probably.
I was like, okay, that's a theme. What if we only talk about our favorite things?
Okay.
And she was like, oh, I love that. And then that's how Your Favorite Thing got born, was just like literally every week we talk. It doesn't have to be. We talk about TV a lot.
TV, movies, music, books.
And books.
Also we talk about
nothing.
Dumb shit. Like,
right.
It's the most Seinfeld podcast ever. Like, it's about nothing.
It's so much fun, though.
Yeah, but that's, I think that's getting to like the root of what you set out to do in the first place. Because you're just two friends talking about what you want. And like, that's what we do, right? When you hang out with your friends, you're just like talking in circles about, I love this. No, I love this. I hate this. I saw this. Did you like that?
Yeah. Speaking of TV, what's your favorite thing on TV right now?
Do you want to plug the new Netflix show you're watching?
Oh my God. Okay.
What are you watching?
Sarah and I are into this. It's so new to me that I don't like know exactly what it's called. Hold on. Let me go to my Your Favorite Thing notes. So it's called Another Life, and it's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
Okay.
It's the main character. She's from Battlestar Galactica.
Did it just come out?
Yeah. Like, you'll see
it.
Like,
yes, I saw a billboard. I think I just saw a billboard for it.
Okay. Yeah, it's a space show.
Yes.
Yes.
So basically,
I've been wanting to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea what it's about. I've just seen these, like, two billboards on Ventura Boulevard. I'm like, what is this?
Interesting.
Because, like, space, I'm halfway there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I'm a little burned from the last, what was the space movie they put out? Oh, God, Cloverfield Paradox. Did you see that?
Ooh.
Did you see that?
Yes.
So I just feel a little scared, and I had like a little like PTSD from seeing the bill. I'm like, are they trying it again? But now I've heard this thing is great.
What, just for me?
No,
for other people too.
From other people.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So the I'm only in episode like 2.5 right now. But it opens with a UFO comes into the atmosphere. Into Earth's atmosphere, and it lands like in a field, and then all of a sudden it's really cool like looking UFO, and then all of a sudden it turns into like this like crystal spire that like, goes up, and that's it, and everyone's like, what just happened? And so all the humans, and this is taking place hundreds of years in the future, all the humans are like, it's an antenna, they're sending back information to like their home planet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a team on the Earth trying to figure out how to talk to this UFO that just came here and just left. Yeah, exactly. And then there's a team that's being sent to that planet to go talk to them to be like, why did you send this UFO here?
Mm.
But then calamity ensues and they go off course. Friends become enemies. Yes. Enemy becomes friends.
Who can you trust?
Exactly.
The drama, but in space.
Count me in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Should we do this? Yeah.
Okay, it's our new book club.
The last Netflix show we were talking about on the podcast a bit ago was The Society.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, so good. I wanted to hate it because Kevin was like, it's great, you gotta watch it. But we figured it, like, we don't know if it's good or not, we just love it.
Oh,
couldn't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, it got a second season, so I'm real excited because it left off pretty good. So,
okay,
it's totally worth it.
Yeah,
I'm about halfway through Euphoria on HBO.
Can't do it.
I hear it.
Oh. Why?
Oh, can't do it.
This is great. Yes, this is wonderful.
Why not?
I'm caught up. I'm currently caught up.
I have not watched it.
I'm on episode 4. So.
Yes.
I feel uncomfortable with the things that I'm seeing.
It's,
because they're supposed to be underage kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing areolas.
Yes.
And I'm seeing.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
Peepees?
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
There's so many dicks.
So many dicks. You try to get through episode 2 without seeing 7 million weens.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm in. I'm like, Game of Thrones, stop showing dick season 2. Yeah. I gotta get it from somewhere.
Oh, my God. Okay. But, like, the reality is, this is very parallel to reality.
I feel like. If you compare with other teen shows, like 13 Reasons or whatever, this is probably the most realistic and I think what people are actually doing.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, I was like a bad kid in high school. Yeah, I didn't do half of this stuff.
Your generation was different.
Don't do that.
No, but I do feel like, so I talk to some of my friends, like younger siblings that are like 17, 18.
Yes, I have a 19-year-old
this
sister.
This is not everybody's experience, of course. Definitely not. Like, to me, going through high school, if I saw kids doing this, I'm like, this is like some weird underworld that I didn't know existed.
Uh-huh.
However, talking to some of the kids who I feel like would fit into this group, I am now not surprised seeing this. And now since I've seen some of my friends' younger siblings, I'm like, oh, I get you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this like Reagan's age? Like, are you scared this is what Reagan's going through? His niece is 19?
19, yeah.
That's how old my sister is.
Yes, but she would not be in this.
Yeah, she's like a horse.
But my other...
Like, sweet muffin...
Country farm.
Yeah, good girl.
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody I would be friends
with. Oh,
yeah.
If there's one person I would trust to go anywhere, I'm like, yeah, you're fine.
Oh.
Like, I tell my sister, like, you don't need to worry about her. It's the other ones that are a little younger that I'm worried about.
They're going to be going through this.
Yeah.
I have no concept of what Euphoria is. I haven't... It's just something that I've kind of like put aside. So what? It seems weird to me, right? It's like things are, I don't know. It felt a little like sci-fi to me, but I guess not.
No
sci-fi,
no. Not at all.
Well, have you heard the fan theory that Zendaya's character is actually dead?
No, I haven't.
No,
and the whole thing is happening.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that too.
She died in the overdose and everything.
I could see that.
So just a quick, like, I'll just give you a quick synopsis of it. It's about a really, like, a junior in high school girl who has an addiction problem. And, like, in the first episode, she overdoses and then has to go to rehab. And then it basically starting out with, like, her coming back from rehab and she's supposed to be clean, but she's not. There's, like, a 12-year-old drug dealer with face tattoos.
Oh.
It's just confusing and
he's
scary.
He's so good in it, though.
How is he so good?
He's so good.
The first episode, I was so thrown. I'm like, this is... And then afterwards, I'm like, I need more of him.
Yeah, same.
I need more of this kid just talking so much crap and smack.
He's like, everything.
It's so strange.
It's good.
It is good. It also, I was watching it Sunday night. I will preface this. I had just gotten back from Vegas, so I wasn't feeling exactly right myself.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on the couch watching it, and I'm like, I feel like I'm going to vomit because they do such a good job of making you sort of feel like you're drunk or high or under the influence of something as you're watching it. It's shot very much. It's super stylistic.
Okay.
I think you should give it a shot. More than anything, is everyone's like super good in it.
Yeah.
Like annoyingly good. We're like, I would have hated you in high school, but you're doing a good job because I hate you right now.
I know.
Yeah.
The music in it's really great, too.
Who are Drake and Future are executive producers, right?
I think so.
And I think Labyrinth does something with the music on it as well.
Yeah, he does.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
I love Labyrinth.
And Jen Morrison has directed a couple of episodes, right?
Oh, I think she has.
Yeah.
So it's a really good...
It's dark.
It's
good.
Super dark.
Just get ready for a lot of peepees.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, in the words of Wells, 7 million peepees in episode 2.
There's a micro peepee in it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I
was Googling micro peepees the other day.
Jenna was prepared. She's like, if I did research for anything for this podcast, why were you Googling micro?
Well, okay, so there was a thing going on with all of our friends.
Our favorite things.
Yes. By the way, this happens every time we do this. Everyone else's show just turns into our show.
Yeah.
And this is what this our show is.
See, I love it, though. That's why your show is so great. I was Googling micro peens because... That's
great.
The title of this episode. Yeah. I was Googling micro peen. My girlfriends and I were talking about a micro peen because we were talking about somebody that shouldn't be named on TV in a reality show that supposedly had a micropene. So we all the girls were talking about it, and then one of our friends was like, I've seen a micropene before.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She's like, and it's very small. So we were like Googling micropenes. And then I brought it up to my boyfriend the other day, and we're in the car, and I was like, I don't know how it came up, but I was like, micropene. And he's like, what's a micropene? And I was like, you Google it now. Google. And I was driving. He was like, no! It was enlightening for him.
Yeah.
And that's why we're Googling micropenes. Yeah. And so I showed him the micropenes.
He felt better about himself.
Yeah.
He definitely did. He definitely did. But he didn't know about them at all. We also got I'm not going to go there. Sorry. Anyway, moving on from the micropenes. Yeah. Look at Steven.
Yeah.
Also, I like how we changed it to micropene because
it's
not.
It's because of you.
Yeah, but it's micropenis.
Yes.
But that doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, but it's 7 million beans.
Well, for
you
whatever
know?
Reason,
yeah.
I was like censoring peen. Myself because I don't know like the rules of this show.
Oh yeah,
it's probably better because we say it so many times. Is it?
Yeah. I also don't know either. And then I just said the word dicks 10 times at the top of my lungs. So, oh my god.
Let's talk more about you guys.
Yeah. Enough about us and micro penises.
Wait, so hold on. That was your favorite show? Is Euphoria, right?
Euphoria. That's just what I'm watching.
Sorry,
right now. I wouldn't say it's my favorite show, but yeah.
What about you? Yeah, you're into Euphoria?
Yeah, I'm watching Euphoria, Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Oh, she loves Handmaid's Tale.
I do, but I think I'm a little behind. I haven't seen the past couple weeks.
I don't know how I feel about it anymore.
That's what everyone said.
I like the season.
I like
you
it
do?
Too.
I like it.
I can't stop watching it just because I'm like, I would like to know, but
I know.
It's sort of, this happens to almost every show. Like at some point when the show does become so successful, you just sort of become like a caricature of what everyone in the public loves you for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I feel like now that show just sort of allows things to happen that in the first season none of these characters would have gotten away with.
That's so true.
Or just to make her like have success or stay alive, where like if she did any of those things she would have been like murdered.
My thing is though that they need to give her, you know, some dynamic and complexity, but if they took her out of that world too soon, like it takes, I mean, it's obviously
there'd
not
be no
the same show.
Yeah.
But like keeping her in that world is really difficult because you get really redundant.
But
so
that's
it
what
it has to go somewhere.
But it feels like it's stretching.
Here's what the moment that I was thrown a bit this season that I'm still a little confused about. Her baby daddy, what's his name? The security guard guy, the driver?
Yes,
Nick.
Yeah. Mm.
What's Nick's what is he? Now they showed him like what he's like in the army or something.
He's like leading the like the front to like go and apparently he's like some mass murderer.
Yeah,
like,
I'm confused by that storyline.
I was like, oh, there's something.
I don't
something
think they've really fleshed it out. I don't think they've fleshed it out.
I don't either.
I think it's coming, but I don't think they've fleshed it out.
It threw me.
And maybe he's unavailable, and that's why, because he hasn't been in any of it.
That's so true.
They were like, well, we got to write him out. You know.
Yeah. That was where everyone kept saying, like, I don't know about the season, and I was like, really, I like it. And then that happened, and I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
I do like Yvonne Strofsky's storyline this year.
Yeah.
I think hers has been really, really great.
Who?
Yvonne Strofsky.
Oh. Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay. I just...
Anyway.
I don't... No.
I hear you. Well,
I'm still
the same thing about Stranger Things, you guys. Anybody? Stranger Things
so
season
good.
3?
Yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
But David did not like it.
Well, David also had never heard of a micropenis, so I can't trust David.
We can't.
Why didn't he like it?
But he watched it with me. He was like, it feels like the same thing over and over.
Oh, see, I thought this season was so much better than the last season.
I agree.
Oh,
yeah, we talked about
two.
It. We thought that 3 was the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I really liked season 2.
Oh, I hated season 2.
I didn't like, yes, when 11 goes on like that weird like emo thing.
Yeah, well,
I
was
like, what's happening?
One.
I thought this was like, yeah, I thought this was more comedic and like humorous and felt more of like the 80s style of
totally.
Yeah, I loved it.
Me too.
And like Scoops Ahoy and Steve.
Yeah,
that's great.
I think Steve is the greatest actor in the world
right
now.
He's so good.
He's really good.
I get so mad every time I watch him, like just how he like looked at somebody. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Like his comedic timing, especially with Dustin, is so good. Like those little kids have gotten
perfect.
So good now.
Oh, yeah.
They were always good.
Yeah.
But
And now Maya Hawke, Ethan and Uma's daughter. I like can't stop staring at her.
Wait, that's
so
who that
beautiful.
Is?
Yeah.
She's also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
Really? Have you seen that?
We were talking about it last night.
What did you think?
Oh, this is great.
Is it one of your favorite things?
Have you seen it?
No, I want to.
I think I liked it.
Oh.
Controversial.
It's controversial?
No, isn't it? Doesn't everybody not like it?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, so basically going into it, I tried to avoid things, but with a movie like this, it's sort of impossible to avoid hearing things for me. And all I heard was, one, people didn't like it, it was too male-heavy, and there were a lot of close-ups of women's feet.
Huh. Well, we all know that Quentin Tarantino's got a foot thing. Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. those things are true.
Very interesting.
It's like super just male dominant, lots of ladies' feet just like right in the frame. However, it is like...
Quentin!
It's a dark comedy, though. Quentin. I think people are losing sight that it is a super... It's a dark comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to see it.
Yeah. Okay.
And
it's super masturbatory. Like, it is just like Leo and Brad Pitt... Like acting, like chewing the scenery in every scene.
Yeah.
But that's sort of fun to watch.
What does that mean, chewing the scenery?
Like just, how do you explain that?
Like,
if you watch Al Pacino in any scene where he's just like so good over the top, you're like, he's amazing. Like, they're doing that. I don't know. They're like drunk and just. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not. Doing
is that
it very
Nick? Is I feel like Nick Cage is always like yelling. Always yelling.
Nick
sort
is
of.
Always yelling, but yes. That's not chewing as much as like. It's almost like a.
It's like Meryl Streep in Big Little Lies. Like they're
so good.
They're so good. They know they're good. Mm, they know what they're doing is good.
Slightly masturbatory, but in the best way possible. Yeah. Where you like it's enjoyable for the people watching.
Wait, how is it masturbatory? You said that a set. Now I'm learning. I need to know about this stuff.
Chewing the scenes, like, well, masturbatory can be used in negative and positive connotations. So like usually more in the negative because it's like masturbatory, which means it feels really good for the actor, but it doesn't read on like for some like
we're gonna give you this really long monologue that's going to be really great and delicious but has nothing probably to do with the scene, but just because you're Meryl Streep, so we're gonna give you this to do because we just want to see you act and she's gonna act the hell out of it.
Right.
It's sort of like that where they I think in a good way where it's sort of like a buddy comedy where they're in every scene together, they're doing the most absurd shit. Their characters are absurd. I mean, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like they're just sort of going like 110% in everything where like there's no moment where they're being normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're not just a normal person in any scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like Steve, do you want to
like
help
Daniel
me?
Daniel Day-Lewis a little bit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's sort of like the intensity of Daniel Day-Lewis in every sentence.
Gotcha.
Is there one who is a stronger actor than the other? Like are you like, man, I think that Leo really killed Brad in this one?
No, because I think Leo's character has more to do, and Brad's character is sort of the cool guy,
as
Brad.
Shocker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Leo's playing an actor, and like the insanity of like someone who's a has-been, and so that's very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's just so good, and this that character is very fragile.
Well, Leo's more versatile, I'd say, of the two. So he normally takes on more like Christian Bale kind of.
They're
like,
also sort of playing characters that they like. They're playing like they do in other Quentin Tarantino movies. Like Brad sort of has the accent from Inglourious Basterds, as does Leo from Django Unchained.
Okay,
but I think maybe just because I like them, I'm just letting it happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I enjoyed watching it. I went with two friends. They were very confused, and they didn't really like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Do you know anything about the plot?
No, I don't.
Give us a
do you want to know anything?
Log line. Give me a log line. That's no more than 10 words.
Yeah.
Set in Hollywood against the backdrop of the Charles Manson murders.
Hey.
Okay.
Nice. Very good.
I like that.
Good.
Anybody here? Well, I'll talk about my favorite things. I'm waving my hand in the air. True crime podcast. True crime.
I
hooked.
Yeah.
Love.
You and the rest of America.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's
love
like
true crime
the new
right
Netflix
now
and chill. You know.
True crime and get scared.
Have you listened to Live and Die in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay.
So good.
Did you listen to like the Black Dahlia ones?
I didn't listen. I tried that one, The Root of Evil.
Yep.
It's not my cup of tea just yet.
Yeah.
Cold. the Powell family. Culpable is on right now. What else? 22 Hours, who is podcast one, and it's great. And then there's also...
You listen to Bear Brook?
No.
That one's good. That one's really good.
She's pumped.
Yeah, she's...
Yes. Okay, great. Man in the Window?
No, I don't know that one.
That's good.
Okay. I'm into this too, so yeah, I'm excited.
You've done, taking notes. Obviously, yeah. You've done a what Dr. Death over about? My dead body, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And wait, here's another one that's not true crime, but I'm obsessed with her, Elizabeth Holmes, The Dropout.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know what that is.
Go listen to it now and then listen to the book, Bad Blood.
Yeah.
It's all about Elizabeth Holmes, who started this. She dropped out of Stanford at 19 to start this company. It became a multi-million-dollar company, but she's a fraud. And okay. She manipulated and tricked millions of people.
Did you do S-Town?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Loved S-Town.
That was so good.
Oh, so good. And we listened to Serial season 1 like 5 times now.
Oh, God. Oh, no. When the thing that happens and that happens, I was like, what? I wanted to meet this person.
And I knew it was heading there.
You
but
did?
But pretty early on, I could just tell. I had met someone similar, and I was... Anyway, in my life at that point, and I was like, oh, no. It's like, please don't go there. And then it does. I'm like, this beautiful soul.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart. I was on a long drive, like,
to
and from Arizona listening to it. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And my friend and I got back, and we were, like, 15 minutes into the last episode, and we got home. It was, like, midnight or something, and she's like... So I'm coming in because we have to finish this, right? I'm like, absolutely. Yes. Thank God you said that. And like, we sat on my couch and just listened to it. We're like, oh, God.
Wait, did you do Up and Vanished?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to meet that guy. We did. Remember Payne Lindsay?
Yes.
So we went to the podcast awards. That's a thing.
Yep.
And
a thing.
So we were walking the carpet.
Were you nominated?
No.
Sorry.
I had to present those. So
oh,
that was
that's
exciting.
Fun. Yeah.
But what was really funny about, side note, what was really funny about that, the person that won wasn't there, so I had to accept it for them, you know? So I walked off stage, and the backstage assumed that I had won. So then they took me with the trophy to take the pictures, and I was like, this isn't mine! I felt like that Seinfeld episode where it was a Tony. But anyways, we were doing red carpet interviews, and they were like, what kind of... It's funny, because Brandy doesn't really listen to podcasts.
That's fine.
I don't really either.
I'm not a good listener unless it's music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm the same way. I'm like, I don't know how you find the hours in the day to... I'm barely
driving.
Listening to hours.
I ask this him every
it's
week.
It's all driving. It's all
walking. Yeah, because in LA, you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah,
so I ripped like three Audible books
a
week.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
But no. So anyways, so we were in the in this line, and they were asking us like what our favorite podcasts were. And so I was fielding all the questions because she doesn't
I'm
listen
like,
to any podcasts.
I love them all.
So I was like, man, I don't know, S-Town and, Dirty John and, oh, man, Up and Vanished. And Payne Lindsay was I don't know what he looks like.
Yeah.
So he's behind and he comes up and like taps me on the shoulder. He goes, what'd you say? I said, man, there's this podcast called Up and Vanished. It's amazing. He goes, I'm Payne Lindsay. And I was like,
oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Like the things that get me starstruck are so weird.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like, I understand that.
He's just got to talk for a little while.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I'm painful.
Oh, all I wanted was one of his grandma's, like, gator cookies. Or, I don't know, remember there was that thing where, like...
It's grandma's gator.
It's something like that.
Some kind of cookie or gator. I don't know. Anyway, before we get back to Wells and Brandy, let's give a shout out to Fruit of the Loom breathable underwear. They make you feel cool even through life's most uncomfortable moments. Kind of like when you go in for a handshake and they go in for a hug and you're like,
Or when you go to get your hair cut and you're like, just a little off the sides, and then you end up with a buzz cut. It's never happened. I didn't cry.
So go to fruit.com and use promo code SHOWMANS to unlock an additional 10% off your order. I love these. I actually have started wearing them to bed because I wear undies to bed. And usually I'm like sweating. sweating at night because that's what happens to me. And I've worn these and I've stayed cool as a buttercup.
Fruit of the Loom breathable underwear is designed with total comfort in mind and made with breathable, lightweight fabric. The tiny holes provide airflow, keeping you cool.
Go to fruit.com and use promo code SHOWMANS to unlock an additional 10% off. That's FRUIT.com and promo code SHOWMANS for 10% off to get your Fruit of the Loom's breathable underwear today. So feel cool even when you shouldn't. Okay, one more favorite thing. Please indulge me for a second. We can talk about Paradise. Wells, how did you get into being the bartender? Kevin, I don't know if you know this, but Wells is the bartender in Paradise, like, and gets to watch it all.
Yeah, I know. And once I found out that was a thing, yeah. I thought that sounds like the best gig.
Well, yeah, that's why he's not going to give his secret away of how he got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
You're scared somebody's coming in and to swoop up your job.
Everyone's trying to swoop.
What's funny?
I'm sure.
I'm trying to swoop.
Yeah.
What's funny is that everyone does want my job until they actually walk down those steps and see, they're like, oh, you actually clean the glasses? Like, you have to go, like, refill ice? Like,
you're bar backing.
You're the actual bartender.
Yeah, and, like, and they're like, why are you walking on the beach picking up glasses? Like, well, I have no more glasses, guys. And they're like, so everyone's always like, I thought that they just brought you in and then you talk to people and then, like, someone else bartended. And I was like, no, I probably should have negotiated that,
yeah,
I guess. But
right?
That's not what this is. Like, it's actually like, and it's pretty long days. Like, they're, you know, reality TV shoots are 24 hours, really.
Yes, right.
And so it's like a 9-10 hour shoot of me, like, on my feet.
Oh my.
And
gosh.
So it is kind of exhausting. Like, everyone wants the job until they see me do it, and then they're like,
no.
Yeah. That looks like it sucks.
But then you get a tan.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But you're, like, slinging the shots and the drinks for everybody then.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of liability placed on my shoulder,
right,
which is kind of scary because I was there the season that there was the scandal and it got shut down. And so now there's drink limits and people watching.
So you have to monitor what everybody's drinking?
Yeah, so there's limits now. So I have like a binder with like people's faces, and I have to make sure they don't drink too much because we want to keep people sober.
You tally. You got to tally.
It also, it's like just, it's a good thing for the people who are on the show.
Yes.
Because one, if the goal is, the goal is to get engaged, I guess, at the end.
Yeah.
But the goal is also, like, to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And if you're just drunk the entire time, you're getting cut out because it's ABC, you know? Like,
right.
If it's an MTV show, it'd be different.
Right.
So it's, I'm doing people a favor, but there's a lot of liability I feel like placed on my shoulders, which is kind of scary because if someone does get too turnt and like something bad happens, then it'll be like, what were you thinking?
You know? You get to be like the cool mom. It's like, I don't want you guys to drink, but if we're going to, just drink at my house.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll let you have a wine cooler.
But you do get to see everything go down. Every relationship.
Yeah.
You probably are a keeper of all the secrets too.
I know. Well, and so it's funny because everyone comes to me to talk to me.
Right, exactly. You're the bartender.
Yeah, so I know everyone's side of the story.
Right.
Which is a very weird perspective to see that show.
Do you ever mess up? Like, do people confide in you and then you accidentally tell somebody else something they shouldn't know?
No, because I don't know if I would consider that messing up. I would consider that
instigating,
like,
stirring the pod, creating good TV.
I mean, I'm a lover of good TV.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I think that my role is supposed to be like the level-headed person who's been there long enough to get. I give good advice to people.
Yeah.
And this season's an interesting one because, like, the overall theme was, you listen to what Wells has to say because it was people from seasons past being like, I didn't listen to him then and he was right.
Wow.
I really should have listened to him, you know?
Wow.
So,
okay.
But I also am a human that has feelings about situations.
Yeah.
And I will let you know if I think you're being a total idiot.
Yeah.
Or if you're being like hypocrite, like, hypocrisy just, like, lives on that beach.
Of course.
You know?
Sure.
They're like, I can't believe you're dating two women. And then they're, like, going on 7 dates. And you're like, you're doing the exact same thing.
You guys,
what are you talking about?
Relax.
Does this transfer over into your real life? Do people come to you for advice?
I don't think so.
Do you ever go to people? Do you give him advice?
He doesn't really ask for my advice.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But you don't ask for my advice.
No.
No.
They don't need it. They seem like they're good.
Brandy's a badass. Like, she doesn't really need help with anything.
Yeah, you seem like you got it together. Thanks. Both of you seem like you really got it together.
I'm the oldest of five in my family.
Oh, so that's a whole...
So, yeah, I was kind of forced to always have it together.
Sure.
And Wells is the baby.
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Yeah, so you're like, you know... I was, well, I'm not going to say he got away with everything and like whatever, but he did.
As also a fellow baby of the family, totally could do whatever I want.
Whatever
exactly.
You want.
Yeah.
But I will say this, like the thing that people say about Brandy is because I think that the thought is coming from this, you know, crazy showbiz family that she's going to be I don't even know what the word is. Just a diva maybe.
Hollywood jaded.
And she's the most like down to earth, normal, really smart chick. She's like, well, of any of the women that I know, save one, maybe.
She better. You're going to be in trouble. Except Sarah, who's so much more of all those things. That's so sweet. Well, thank you.
No, yeah. Brandy's awesome.
It's probably because you've just seen it all. You're like unfazed by everything.
So but I just, because I'm the oldest, I was just like kind of forced into that position of being the responsible one and the level headed one and like the even keeled one. But it's funny because I DJ as my job. Like I'm a DJ. And so people expect me to be this like wild party chick, you know, and it's funny because like even some brands that that have wanted to work with me in the past have been like, but we're not sure like the party lifestyle is what we want to align with. And I'm like, I'm the least person you should worry about when it comes to this. Like I'm in bed by 10 o'clock every single night, up at 7. I never go out. I hardly ever drink. Like I'm
that's
most...
how your skin is so good.
That and my mother looks like she's 35 years old. Wells will be, will tell you.
Dude. Everyone, go look up Tish Cyrus.
She's nuts. I literally took a video of her on the plane last night. She was putting some serum on her face. But I was like, honestly, if this is what it takes to look this good at 52, sign me up. Like, she looks amazing.
You're like, give me some of that.
Yeah. But anyway, it's just funny because I think people probably have, you know, just like a perception of what I'm like. And I'm probably the so opposite of anything you would think.
How long have you been DJing?
Like 4 years now, I think, almost.
Do you love it?
I do. It's really fun. Like, it's just, it's like, who can complain about that being your job? Like, you get to, you know, go out on the weekends and make people feel good, make people want to dance, make people have a good time, and kind of set the tone, you know, when people are out to have a good time. And it's really fun. And I love music more than anything. So it's funny because I one of the reasons I don't like to go out is because if I don't like the music, I want to leave. So this way, I get to go out and I get to control the music.
Yeah.
So it actually is like my dream
and DJ
scenario.
Makes or breaks the
It's true.
And I don't have to talk to anyone else. Oh. It's really great.
Like, what did you say?
You figured it out.
I can't hear you.
What's the one thing you don't like about your job?
How late I have to stay up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
What's
you normally
have
to go to bed at 10.
For you?
Usually I start my set at 12:30 or 1. And it's like usually an hour and a half to 2 hours. Oh, yeah. And so especially like when I come out onto the West Coast, like I played in Phoenix a couple weeks ago, and my set started at 1:30 in the morning, went till 3. That's 3:30 in the morning, my time, you know, in Nashville. So
brutal.
The hours are a little brutal.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
But I
either.
Can always just tell myself, you can sleep on Monday.
Do people offer you drugs?
I've never been offered drugs.
Really?
But men love to bring me shots.
Yeah.
And which I will not take while I'm DJing.
Smart.
But it's like, they're like, here you go. And I'm like, I'm good.
But
they do.
You.
They love it. Yeah. That is the only thing. I've never been offered drugs, though.
Interesting. I would just assume that people would be like, because it's that like party atmosphere.
Totally.
They're like, here's some Molly. Or I don't know what drug people use.
I did have a girl, of all places, in Park City, Utah.
Yeah.
It's like, you would think it's this like sleepy
Park
little
City.
Town. This, after the show, the couple girls like lingered and wanted to say hi after the show. And this one girl like whispered in my ear, like, if you ever want coke, like come for it. Like I'll get it for you. Like I got the plug, and I'm like, I'm good. But like she thought she was like gonna get in good with me by like telling me like she could give me coke, and I'm like, no.
You got the wrong one.
Wrong one.
You got the wrong
tacos and horseback rides.
There
that's
we go.
That's the way to Brandy's heart.
That's right. Speaking
that
of my language now.
Dreamy. Would you guys mind sticking around for some wedding advice?
Sure.
I feel like, you know, your wedding's coming up. Or not coming up, but...
It'll be happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah. Okay. And I feel like Brandy's on the fast track.
No.
What?
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm regretting the conversation we had in the car on the way here.
No,
I'm just sharing with everybody.
She has. You just see this guy when this show,
one
show
of your
ends.
Favorite things.
Oh
yeah,
my
absolutely.
God!
Absolutely.
I'm a straight man, and I'm even into it. Yeah.
Oh, that's when you know great. He's a good one. He's,
yeah.
he's so dreamy.
He looks like Michelle Hus- Michelle? No.
Mikael
no.
Hausman.
Mikael Hausman.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I know.
To a T.
Guys, we got to go. I got to see this photo.
Gotta go.
I love him.
I love him. He's been my celebrity crush for years.
He's perfect.
Also, and he's from South Africa, so he's got like a cool accent.
That's it's not the one accent that he has to it. That's not the South
like
Africa.
Pretty good,
Wells. That's pretty good. The closest anybody's ever gotten, I think. Anytime I try to mock his accent, he says, he's like, I don't sound British. And I'm like, I'm not doing British. He's like, yeah, you are.
South African is the hardest
it
accent.
It is hard, yeah. Okay.
You guys are actors. Like, it always amazes me that, like, why is it that Americans are so bad at doing everyone else, but British people... I feel like everyone from Stranger Things is British.
It's true.
And I can't tell.
I can't tell. That cast is exceptionally good at doing American accents.
It's not.
Yeah, sometimes.
Really? A lot of British actors do not have a good American accent.
Or they work really hard at it. I also think it's because usually British actors are like theater properly trained. Or here we're like, I'm going to go to LA and get famous.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then like don't have the resources or haven't gone through the proper training to like master something or don't have the work ethic to learn it properly.
I also wonder because I think a lot of American shows are just being aired in England. Whereas there's not like
hearing
we don't get a lot of like British TV
or like
over
Australian
here.
TV.
Emma Stone in The Favourite though, her British accent was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
she,
it
yeah,
is weird
does.
To be
she's
like,
very
oh,
good at that.
This American is killing it.
Yeah.
Which you never see.
Yeah.
No, so it's true. It's true.
Sorry, we got distracted. Yeah, wedding advice
that
when
was,
we come
that
back.
That was my fault.
No, please.
No, it's all good. I wish I could do, well, I have one more tidbit. So, Australian accent. I can't do an Australian accent. But did you know that if you say razor blades, it sounds like rise up lights in Australia? So, rise up lights. Oh, no, it's backwards. You say rise up lights and it sounds like razor blades. Rise up lights.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Rise up lights.
The other one that I always do is a bison is a plice. You wash your fison.
Wow.
Bison.
A bison. Is a plice.
I'm like, a bison is a plice.
Every car comes with its share of stories.
That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date.
The luxury package you got after a big promotion.
Or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer.
Well, you can't put a price tag on your stories. With TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in.
Go to TrueCar, enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up.
Then answer a few simple questions.
Navigation and moonroof, Kevin? Watch as they bump up your value.
High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead.
Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in.
So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
True cash offer not available in all areas.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Wedding advice.
We've got Weldon and Brandy who stayed, and we're going to...
We didn't give them the option.
No, we didn't give them the option. We just went
like,
into
you want.
It.
Like, no, you guys are staying.
And we're going to do wedding questions because it's two of their favorite things, their favorite people. So, okay, this one's a little long, but let's go with it. I'm the maid of honor for my college best friend's wedding in the fall. It's a small destination wedding, but I've never met her fiancé. Mm. They've been together for almost 3 years. We don't live in the same state, and I see her once a year, but still not him. She keeps him super secret, and even my attempts to plan a combo bachelorette weekend or just a trip to meet him isn't working out. How do I write a maid of honor speech? I totally get I can write about me and her and how happy I am for her and her future, but I feel weird not knowing anything about him and what makes them work help.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm, by the way, great speech giver at weddings.
You?
Yep, I kill it.
All right, Wells. Well, then hook her up. What do you think?
Well, this would be my advice to her. The maid of honor speech isn't really supposed to be about the groom. It's supposed to be about the bride because That's mm-hmm. and the best man's supposed to do the speech about the groom. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. You're obviously they're going to get some time together during the wedding, mm-hmm. and you have a little bit of time no matter what to at least get to know them during the rehearsal dinner, because generally your speech will happen at the actual ceremony or afterwards at the reception. So I would say at least get some time with them there. And the trick to every wedding speech is a good old-fashioned callback. So all you got to do is have one joke at the beginning and then have it at the end, mm. and everyone thinks
and
you're
like,
a genius.
Whoa! Yes. Okay.
Bookend it.
Yep. That's great advice. Really, really good advice.
And now I'm just going to hire you to give speeches.
Yeah, I know.
Well, my friend does that.
Yeah,
my friend writes speeches.
Yeah, okay. That's
my friend has a company that they're all like screenwriters,
yeah.
and they on their side job they help people write
so
their
smart.
Speeches for weddings.
Oh, really?
So yeah. Smart.
You guys need a partner.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin.
Okay, what's an appropriate gift for a college roommate slash friend who is getting married in a year in terms of a bridal gift and wedding gift?
What's on the registry?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what I was gonna say.
I like a good registry for a wedding gift. For a bridal gift, I guess this is a friend of the bride, I would
yeah.
guess.
Called roommate. They didn't say best
friend. Something personal. Something that has some sort of sentiment to your relationship or something that feels personal. Don't do a gift card.
Also,
you know,
if you were the college roommate, then you have probably some
experience.
Inside scoop.
Yeah.
Something that maybe is special to the two of them, a memory or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the giving money to some cool adventure on the honeymoon
yes.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Honey funds,
yeah.
Yeah. right?
I think
totally.
That's great.
Love a
so
good
like,
honey
if
fund.
If they're going to like the Maldives or whatever, like the
a dive?
Dive
to
with the sharks or something. Die the first day.
See if you make it.
If you can live through that, you'll get through anything.
Okay, that is good.
I bet they have that in South Africa.
Wells has done it.
I did it in South Africa. It was cool.
Did you cage diving or did you just dive?
Yeah, cage diving. Where they can do Shark Week.
That seems, no, absolutely not.
That's really scary.
No,
not for me.
Absolutely not.
It's
cool. No.
I'd be like, cut me out. Okay. Where's a good place or city to have a bachelorette or a bachelor party?
Not Nashville.
Do not come to Nashville.
Do not come to Nashville.
We are full.
Seriously.
At capacity.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, I feel like Denver would be a really great city for a bachelorette party. Yeah.
All right.
They have so many more bars, and the nightlife there is just, it's more than Nashville. Like, Nashville, there's only so many places you can go.
It just depends on what you want to do, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My thought is like, my thing is like a vineyard or something like that with a group of like quiet
friends. Well, it's dependent. Like, do you want a quiet weekend or do you want to rage?
Like a rager. Vegas, obviously.
Most people, I feel like, want to rage.
Right.
It's like the stereotypical bachelor, bachelorette.
Or like a villa in Mexico.
Yeah, so I'm a big I'm a big proponent of Mexico. One, because especially on the West Coast, it's really cheap to get down there.
Totally.
I would say that where we film Paradise is in this little town called Sayulita. And it's this cool little like bohemian Mediterranean hippie surf town.
Cool.
And it's like now starting to get discovered, but I think that would be a really cool. Cabo doesn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. Cancun doesn't really do it for me. This feels like still authentic.
Yeah.
It still has nightlife.
What you want.
Yeah. So I would suggest that.
Does he want an Ahab nightlife or no? He went there once. I don't know. This place,
yeah, we didn't really leave the resort.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Did you
too.
Go did you go there because of the movie?
No, it was only because my friend had like a hookup at a hotel.
Oh, okay.
So she was like, "Let's go." And we went and I didn't really I just agreed before I knew where we were going.
Yeah.
And she's like, "It's Z1 tonight." I was like, "Guys." Like mentioning it to everyone. Just, everyone knows where we're going, right? And like,
this is where Tim Robbins met up with Morgan Freeman.
Half the group was like, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Where are we going? I'm like, did none of you see the best movie of all time? It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't go down the beach and try to like
find
something.
Him.
Yeah.
Tim Robbins is like sanding a boat.
Where are you? I was promised Tim Robbins. Okay, last one.
Yeah,
you ready?
Let's go.
Do you think it's necessary to have a big fancy wedding, or just the fact that people love each other equally is enough?
Up to you.
I mean,
everybody got quiet.
Well, I would never have a big wedding. That gives me so much anxiety to even think about.
Yeah.
And just the amount of money that would be spent on it gives me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, it's really about like what you're looking for, like to get out of that day or the weekend.
Right.
Like as a guest, I love going to a big wedding.
Of course.
Love going to a small wedding. Yeah. Whatever. I think, especially after, I'm sure we've all been to quite a few weddings, if you see like the bride and groom like going through it that day and they look miserable, like that's just the worst thing ever. So if you're great at entertaining and want everybody you've ever met there, then by all means, do it.
Yeah.
But if you just feel like having a small, intimate thing, and it's total personal preference.
I feel like in America, we're like, I don't know, like you grow up thinking like a big wedding is what you do, right? It's just like the stereotype for a wedding is throw a huge thing and invite everyone you know and da 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 and like elaborate dinner and like the whole thing. But like you don't have to do that. I think it's I don't know. I think nowadays, like, it's totally acceptable to do something smaller. Like, my favorite thing would be to do, like, a destination wedding.
Yeah.
That'd be so sick.
I'd be so annoyed with you.
Why?
Why do I got to do what you want to do? Why do I got to go to...
Because it's my freaking day, Wells.
I got to go to Crete for you?
I was thinking more like South Africa.
Oh, that's it's even worse.
What do you mean? It's better. It's so sick. You're the only person that has said, ugh. Everyone else is like, hell yeah, I want to go to South Africa.
It's a great excuse.
You've already been there.
I know, already been there.
No, but you know that you can, like, it's not, you've been there. You can do it again.
Yeah, if you're going to do it somewhere I haven't been so I can check something new off the list.
Here's the key to a destination wedding, though.
Yeah.
Is like, let's be honest. Like, when you have a wedding, like, you invite people you feel obligated to invite, right? A destination wedding is good because only the people, only the people that really love you a lot are going to spend that money and take that time to go on your destination wedding.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to back into the wedding. Like, if I was thinking about my wedding, I'd like to back into it in the way that's like, you name all the people you want there, and you look and see what your list looks like.
Mm.
Like, that's for me. Like, it's the day is about your friends, your family, and you celebrating this, you know, this great thing. So, like, you know, it's not. I get stressed about it because there's a part of me that wants a really small wedding, and then if I do that, I'm afraid I'm going to regret not having the bigger thing, so I'm a little conflicted. So I think backing into it that way would be my suggestion.
You're already thinking about this, aren't you?
Well, I mean, yeah, we've talked about it. It's fine. Anyway.
Oh. I see this. This is not the first time you've thought about that.
I just think about where will Kevin have the best time dancing?
Anywhere. That's most literally important. Anywhere. Yeah, I will
my
find
favorite,
a
though,
space.
Was on Sarah's Instagram the other day. She was like, my list, I made a preliminary list. It's already at 300.
And we got into like a little bit of an argument about this.
You did.
Yeah. And she made her list, and then she was like, I also made your list. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm checking these people I think you'd invite. And I was like, I feel like I should be in charge of my list.
I love that.
And she's like, well, I just want to get like a rough number. And I'm like, yeah, but like, no, let me do my own. Let me do my thing. I was like, I know I'm not gonna have, I'm gonna have very little control over all of this, but I feel like who I want to come
is like the basic
my only thing.
Thing
I get to do. And she was like, you're mad at me, aren't you? And I was like, no, I'm just very confused.
Oh, that's good.
Is that honestly, though, kind of sounds like something I would do?
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of women would do that.
Yeah, I made your list. Yeah. What's wrong with
it's
that?
It's like, I know everyone you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? Exactly.
I know everyone you know.
And she's like, no, we need the control.
Well, and she put like she put Miley on, and I was like, that's cool, but like, I'm not really that close with Miley. And she's like, you're not? No. You do a podcast with your sister. Yeah, I know, but like, I don't hang
with
out.
With sister.
It's a big family.
Oh, that's really funny. Well, thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out.
And if you need any extra guests at a wedding, we are great wedding guests.
Noted.
Can you tell us where to find your podcast and you guys and all that fun stuff?
Your favorite thing podcast is on everything. iTunes,
everywhere.
Spotify, all that kind of stuff.
We also have a cute little Instagram account for our podcast.
Yep, at YFT Podcast.
Because we give a lot of recommendations. People want to know where to find it. So we try to post all that weekly. My Instagram is just at Brandy Cyrus.
Mine's at Wells Adams.
Yep.
You guys, you're the best.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
I just want to go everywhere now with you.
Cheers.
Come on.
Do you
cheers
guys need an
to
assistant? I will like be your bar back. I will pick up the glasses and clean it. I can tell people to not offer you drugs.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. I welcome as many like hype men, hype chicks. Anybody that wants to come to gigs with me, like by all means, come on up, get in the booth.
Great.
I want to do that.
Fun.
Yeah,
it's
I do too. I just want to see that.
Yeah.
I feel like I need
fun.
A towel. I'm like, you know,
yeah.
The hype men have towels.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
But I also
it gets sweaty up
there.
Yeah, I'm like, just,
yeah, exactly.
We can be like the pit crew. You need some water?
I'm not kidding. I sweat so much because I DJing is the best cardio I've ever done in my life.
Oh, I bet.
I like don't stop jumping and moving the whole time, and I get very sweaty.
Yeah.
Well, you got to keep the crowd going.
Got to keep it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, we'll come back next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Showmance with us. And get new episodes every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude. And make sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a nice rating and a 5-star review, of course. And
spread the word. See you next week.
Bye.
Micropene.